SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the burgundy, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, shoot, along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the rights holder to the Sheet of Integrity, the founder of the ILC podcast. Put it with the Golf Wednesday golf guru himself, Carver. Hi this afternoon, ladies. Mafia running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on this midweek Where Do You Hurt Wednesday, a double shot with Morenci from Vancouver, British Columbia. This very hour, in the second hour, a double shot with Coach James Young, our basketball analyst, and also around kickoff of the second half, Bob Nightingale from the USA Today, our baseball insider, talking about the Hall of Fame choices and how the Dodgers are spending $7 trillion and no one else can keep pace with them. And that's exactly what's going on in Major League Baseball these days, Carver High. I know you've got the Farmers rolling at Torrey Pines in the first round of the Open there. What do we got going on out in San Diego?
Yeah, happy Wednesday here on Coast to Coast. So we're back in the mix today. We have the Farmers, Torrey Pines, the North and the South course, both being utilized, of course, for the first few rounds. Ludwig Aubert, 7-under this guy. I mean, you got to be kidding me. 7-under through 10 holes. He, of course, was the favorite on the board. 9-1, the chalk is leading. What a start. I saw him eagle the ninth. Then he just birdied the 10th. So Aubert off to an unbelievable start.
Why was he the favorite?
Well, I mean, I didn't disagree with him being the favorite. When you look at all the guys that were there, I'd say that Ludwig probably is deserving of that, considering the field. You had guys like Morikawa and Shoffley drop out. So I could see why they love Ludberg. The books love Ludwig. Everybody loves him. And you could see why today. Now, can he finish the job over the next 3.5 days? That is a whole nother story altogether that we shall see. Who's going to try to chase him? How about today? Nanto Griffin, Mac Meisner, Joel Damon in again. He was there first round last week too, right? Joel Damon was hanging around. He's 3-under. Siwoo Kim, Jaeger bombs at 3-under. That's Cam's got him. Matsuyama's 3-under. Lots of guys at 3-under, but they're all looking up at Ludwig right now. Nice start for Finau. Birdied the first hole, and then he bogeyed since. So he's sitting at even at T71. You know how much we love Tony this week out at Torrey Pines. So we'll keep our eye on the golf, Scotty, on a Wednesday. Instead of making the bets, we are watching the bets.
Is it on TV too? You can actually watch it?
They actually just started the coverage on Golf Channel right now at 3 o'clock right. East. So you can actually watch, as I'm seeing all your boys. Frank Knobloch out there now taking care
Chuck
of business.
Chuck Knobloch?
Boy, it's Steve Sands and Knobloch there at the desk at Torrey Pines. All right, we do have a lot of football stuff that's happened in the past couple of hours in terms of breaking news and otherwise off the playoff side of things. The Jets have officially hired Aaron Glenn as their new head coach. We told you yesterday he was there for an interview, said they weren't going to let him leave the building. They let him leave, but they had a deal in place when he did. So he will be the new head coach of the Jets, of course, former Jet player, drafted by the Jets way back in the day. So he'll be the new head guy. This just happened for like 5 minutes ago. The Jaguars and general manager Trent Baalke part ways. That means he was chopped. Why don't you just get down to what it really is? Chopped is what he was. I guess, Scotty, the 600 guys that they've interviewed for the head coaching position almost have told Shad Khan, yeah, we don't want to work with this guy. Get him out of here.
Yeah, apparently. So he'd been there for a while, and now he's gone. And I think more significantly, the Glenn hiring in New York is, you know, on the surface, to me, a good hire for the Green. I really believe that. Here's a guy that has been paying his dues. He's done a great job in Detroit, no doubt about it. And then, I mean, he's a Jet. Like, there was potential for him to go to New Orleans. I said yesterday to you that I think that, you know, I've said for a couple of weeks, I think he's going to the Jets. And now he goes to the Jets. And I think it's a better job. I think they are a better team. I think they have a bizarre owner. And his family, I think, is kind of strange what he'll have to deal with. But, you know, in all likelihood, he's just going to coach football and handle his business. I think they've made a good choice. And I actually, I don't think they've made a good choice for that job in 15 years. I really don't. And I think that finally they've done something right. And I actually believe this guy has a shot to turn the Jets around. I think they have been a morbid franchise, terrible, bad luck, you name it, whatever you want to put a stamp on them, go ahead, because they are easy to mock. But they have talent, and now they have someone that can actually coach. Like, I've never, you know, I never bought into Robert Saleh. I think that he is a decent defensive coordinator, but I think that this guy, Glenn, has a chance to take the next step and prove that he can be a head coach. We'll see in due time.
Yeah, and it still comes down to one thing at the end of the day. Whether you're Aaron Glenn or anybody else, if you don't have a quarterback, you'll be fired within 3 years. So that's just it. If you don't have a quarterback who can win, you ain't going to last. I don't care how good of a motivator you are or the guys play for you. It's about winning, and it's about having a quarterback, and they still haven't figured that out yet. So God bless and good luck to Aaron Glenn in New York with the Jets. The Raiders hired Tampa assistant general manager John Spytek as their new GM. The connection there, Scotty, is, of course, this guy was there when Brady was there in Tampa. So Brady brings one of the guys from Tampa over to Vegas, and he will now run the Raiders. Another guy, God bless and good luck with that running that ship. Where that's got to go, finding a coach and a quarterback.
Listen, I'll give them this, that they have a great stadium and they have a great, you know, really fan base and town behind them. But, you know, so do the Saints. I mean, New Orleans has always loved the Saints. I think they're both, you know, train wrecks right now in terms of where their franchises are. We did a thing on the show 4 weeks ago that the Raiders have more losses than anyone in the last 10 years in the NFL. I mean, all they do is lose. So I think this guy Spytek has a, you know, incredible job in front of him. And I think that they need to hire the right coach. And I have to be honest with you, I think that market has been depleted significantly. So I want to see the move they make, and I do not believe for 1 minute that they made a wrong decision in letting go of Antonio Pierce. No. He's about as much of a head coach as I am, okay? Like, he was awful, and that's just all there is to it. So I think they have to do better than that. I mean, they just absolutely have to make a move that's stronger than the moves they've been making.
We've got Ichiro Sabathia and Billy Wagner going into the Hall of Fame. NBA from last night and tonight. College Rack. More hype up for these title games on Sunday. Very busy.
Let's do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can catch Sports Rage tonight at 10 Eastern till midnight along all of our outlets on the TV and radio side with the great Morenci. Gabe joins us every day on Coast to Coast. Thank God for that, from Vancouver, British Columbia. I want to start with this. So, and listen, I'm not naive to how bad the Pirates are. Fair enough, right? Like, I already know, but they have Skeens and nothing else. And then in 4 years, he'll be going to play for the Yankees or someone, Dodgers, whoever. They never keep any good players. Their payroll's $79 million. I see the Dodgers, allegedly the payroll's at $380 million. If that's true, so be it. If it's not, it's somewhere near there. And then, you know, I think people have been seeing over the last several days and weeks that they've literally almost signed every star player in baseball, and they re-signed all their players, even Teoscar, and they went out and got the Japanese phenom. I mean, they get everyone and everything. And I know you're a Dodger fan, and that's neither here nor there. I respect your fandom with the Dodgers. The question is, what's happening to baseball when one team gets everything they want and spends all this money and nobody else can even compete with them now? I mean, not even the Yankees. I mean, I guess the Mets can compete with them fiscally with Cohen, but it can't be good for baseball when I see one team at 380 and I see a team at 79 million. They have no chance whatsoever. They might as well, you know, kick the can already. The season's over. Hasn't even started yet.
You know, but the problem, Scott, isn't the teams that want to spend money. It's the teams that don't want to spend money in Major League Baseball. That's a bigger problem than teams that want to spend money. And, you know, that's the Dodgers and the financials of baseball are two different stories. Because, honestly, if you want to look at the Dodgers, Teoscar Hernandez signed for, like, $22 million a year, bro. So he was a free agent for, like, a month, and nobody stepped up and offered him more than $22. Like, the Dodgers didn't even pay him that much, bro. They paid him, like, $67 million, Scott, for 3 years, bro. You know what I mean? So it's not like they came in with some crazy offer. They said, go see what the market says, and nobody paid them. Sasaki took $6 million to play for the Dodgers. San Diego offered him 10. Toronto offered him 9, right? So it's not just a case of money. If you build a winning culture and you have a good organization, winning players and championship-caliber players are going to want to be part of it. Let's be real. Ohtani changed everything by deferring the money, Scott. That's the real issue with the Dodgers that gave them power. How many players are going to say, yeah, sure, I'll take $770 million in 10 years? You know what I mean? No one. No one's ever done that before. He's making $2 million a year now, Scott. He's literally making $2 million a year for the Dodgers right now, and they're going to pay him $660 million or whatever in 8 years now in one, you know, in a couple of payments or whatever. So that was something that helped them. But as far as baseball, I'm glad you used the Pirates as an example, Scott. Because I believe their payroll was actually up to, was like 109, okay? And I just posted all of this online the other day. Throw out the payrolls and look at the percentage of revenue the teams spend on their players, all right? And that's where you're going to see who really wants to win. Okay, the New York Mets are right at the top. Like they, you know, out of all their revenue, they spend like 76% of their money back on players. And you can say, well, Cohen doesn't need the money, right, Scott? He doesn't really care about profiting off the Mets, right? He wants to win, this guy. The Dodgers only spend like 60% of their revenue because their revenue is so freaking high. It's like it was like $549 million, the revenue of the Dodgers. And they spent like you said, over three, you know, close to 300 mil in the 300 mil range. But if you look at the bottom, the Pirates are a great example, Scott. The Pirates payroll was $109, $109 million. You know what their revenue was? $309 million. So why is it the Dodgers' fault that the Pirates owner is greedy and is pocketing $200 million a year, Scott? Why is it the New York Mets...
That's why he doesn't want to sell the team, because he's
Why is it Steve Cohen's fault if the Seattle Mariners have a damn good team and spend 41% of their revenue on players? Like, you want to talk about the real problem. Right? You know, exactly. And you just nailed it right there. The fact of the matter is the small market teams, and they're not small market teams. With the television money that comes in with baseball, every team in the league is bringing in nearly $300 million. Some teams choose to spend the money. Some teams choose to keep the money. And as Scott just stated, if it's so bad for business, how come there's not one bloody baseball team for sale right now? How come they're not at all running right now? Oh, we can't make money. We can't win. They don't care about winning. They're making $250 million a year. I can, you know, I posted this. We talked about this for like an hour online the other day. It's so misguided. The fact of the matter is, guys, there's 15 teams in baseball that are trying. Like, really. And you can really get into about 10 or 12. Like, honestly, there is a pocket of teams that try to win, and they spend money. And you can look at the amount of revenue that they spend on players as far as the money that's coming in. And then you've got the other 15 that are all literally making like $180 to $250 million a year by not trying, Scott. So that's why they'll never be a salary cap, because these owners would suddenly have to spend money, right? They can bitch all they want. You spend $109 million and you keep $200, what do you expect?
So Lee Hamilton, the legendary hacksaw from San Diego, you know
Big
who
fan.
That is. He did
Big
a
fan.
Story about the Padres, that they have all these issues, and one of them is fiscal. They have a fiscal issue now in San Diego. Now, they have been trying to keep up with the Joneses the last couple of years.
They might have overspent on their credit card, Scott, right? It caught up to them a little bit because of the market.
They're not spending money now, and isn't that concerning, because they're the team that, remember, the Dodgers said that was our World Series playing the Padres. I don't think they can dance with them anymore.
You know what the problem with San Diego is, and I like seeing them do well, Scott. It motivates the Dodgers. Business is good. In a competitive world, what do you see across the street from a gas station? Their competitor, another gas station, right? Like, competition is healthy for everybody. It makes people try to be better. San Diego's problem was, you know, they really, really pushed it. They're spending Dodgers-type money, and they're not really bringing in Dodgers-type of revenue, Scott. But when Seidler passed away, it may rest in peace, because he was a hell of an owner. When he passed away, I wondered, they're not going to be able to maintain this, because this guy's a psycho that just wants to win and take the Dodgers down. Now their family owns the team, and you got turmoil in the family.
So now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're talking to Morenci, and we do it every day, a double shot from British Columbia on C2C. We're in New York. So I want to shift to the AFC title game. I'm so fascinated by it. I want to go with this. Like, this is four times now that these two have met in this game, in this title game, and it's just like, it's an annual occurrence almost. We've talked about, you know, the Ravens are the other team, and they've had their wax, and they lost. And now, you know, Allen's got his wax, and he's lost. What do you think the problem is of getting over the hump against this team? Because, frankly, I don't feel like they're, you know, as great as they were, to be honest with you. I think their defense has been really good. I think, for the most part, that's their bragging right. But overall, for me, the Bills are more exciting. They're more exciting offensively. I think Allen's more exciting this year at quarterback. What do they got to do to finally beat this team? Because every time they play them in the playoffs, they lose to them.
They weren't ready before, and it was a little while ago. They've lost in different circumstances, and every time it's a shoulda, coulda, woulda. The first time they played, it was the wild overtime game. Right, when, you know, Gabriel Davis had like four touchdown catches or whatever, and Josh Allen went off, and they ended up losing in overtime, and they changed the overtime rules after that. Then they played in the playoffs like 2 years after that, and the Bills were up, and they scored late. Looked like they were fine. You know, they're going to knock the Chiefs off, and with 13 seconds left, the Bills screwed it up, kicked it off, you know, like one play later, boom, field goal. Rest is history. Last year, it's easy to forget sort of last year. Last year, dude, it was 27-24, and Bass missed a field goal late. Would have sent the game to overtime. They probably would have found a way to lose. So the Bills, quite frankly, weren't ready yet. You know, they didn't know how to win. They didn't know how to close it out. But, you know, Scott, I can't help but think, kind of like you said, they played three times. I'm not saying Josh Allen is Michael Jordan, but it's very similar right now to the Pistons and the Bulls.
Yeah.
Right? At some point, you got to beat them. And it was the same thing. Michael Jordan didn't win a championship, guys, until like 6 years, 7 years into the NBA, right? And he kept losing in the playoffs. Then he couldn't get past the Pistons, who were the two-time champions. And then they finally did, and he lit the world on fire. This is the same thing. Like, if this is the obstacle here right now. But I don't think the Bills are playing scared. I think this is their best opportunity, if ever. As you stated, this is a good KC team, a great KC team, but they're a beatable KC team. The NFL has clearly heard people's complaints about the officiating and the fact that it's Cleet Blakeman doing the game, and the Chiefs are 5-6 straight up with Blakeman. All right, and they've got a great record with pretty much every ref. So the league like went out of their way to shut people up and say, look, they don't win when Blakeman officiates. In fact, they're 5-6 straight up, all right? The 11 games he's officiated, they've only won 5 of them. And the Bills have actually done well with Blakeman before. So that'll silence people. I'm not overly concerned. As a Bills fan, I'm not like, oh, I think we're going to get screwed by the refs. We're not the Houston Texans. And this is the conference championship game. The league won't mind if the Buffalo Bills make the Super Bowl. It'll be a nice story, and it's a big time. Bills Mafia is massive. Tickets will be super expensive, and the hype will be real. So I think the NFL doesn't care either way, really, at this point, who gets into the game, although I do think they screwed the Texans last week. But I'm not worried about the officiating, but I legitimately wanted this, Scott. It's one of those, you know, be careful what you wish for. I always thought, you know what, bring it on. And I don't even care if it's in Kansas City. I think the Buffalo Bills will beat them no matter where it is this year. We beat them earlier in the regular season. I think they can do it again on Sunday.
All right, so respectfully, I'm looking right at it right now, the records against these refs, and it's 6-5. So they are one game over 500 and 54% with this guy, Cleet Blakeman. But it's the closest thing to fair of any ref literally in the league. Like, no one is even close to Blakeman when it comes to, you know, reffing Chiefs games fairly. So here's my question. 3 times in the past, teams have gone in as back-to-back champs and gone for 3 and failed. This will be the 4th team that's trying to go win 3 in a row, and none of the others have ever succeeded. Do you finally think they bite it and lose because no one's ever pulled it off? And the same thing will happen to them. Everyone thinks it's going to happen. Everyone thinks it's automatic. Everyone thinks they're going to be in New Orleans, and then the Bills beat them.
Well, normally they don't even make it this far, actually. So the Chiefs, this is pretty impressive. They've actually done it. Teams will usually implode and blow up and
only
not make it to the conference championship
game.
But, you know, throw that out the window. They know how to win. I mean, it's the game of the century.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know we'll talk about it later in the show, the title games, but we were just in the break talking about, and Morenci said to me he doesn't think the refs will have anything to do with it, and I just don't believe that. What game do you watch in the NFL that the refs don't have everything to do with it? That's all that they do is ruin games. It's every single game. I don't know what game they aren't, you know, meddling their hands in. They throw so many flags, I can't keep track anymore. We'll talk about it later. I don't buy that they won't have something to do with this game at Arrowhead. They always do. I mean, it's just every time, Mike.
I understand that. I get it that it happened. Now, will there be a call in this game that we're talking about in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Probably, because it always happens. Do I think you're going to get a situation like last week with the Chiefs and the Texans? I don't. I really believe the reason the NFL has Blakeman on this game, the reason why you're not going to see anything slated to one side is they took a lot of heat, bad heat, off of what happened in that game with Mahomes. And I think the word has been sent out to Blakeman, his crew, the refs. You better be clean here on Sunday and call this thing correctly, because we can't have people saying what they were saying after the Texan game. We can't have it. I think this is another great week for the Bills to play the Chiefs, especially off of what happened last week. I don't think you're going to get it this week.
One of the things that bothers me is that, you know, the NFL comes out with their stories about how they show the numbers that the Chiefs aren't given an advantage, and they put all this math out of how many times they've been flagged and the other teams have been flagged and everything else. The problem that they're not receiving from my end is from the public, from the fans. from the media, from everyday people that watch the games. Like, if you're watching those games, like that game against the Texans, and you thought that that wasn't screwed up, there's something wrong with you. Because I watched the game and I was like, those were two of the worst calls I've ever seen. And it did affect the game. And they are making bad calls. And they never talk about that they make bad calls. In fact, they make calls that are so bad, they just leave them. They never change them. They don't pick up the flag and reverse the bad call. They just run with the bad call. Like the Bills game the other night with the holding. They called the guy for holding, and he no more held than he wore a dress. Honestly. And they did nothing about it because they suck. And they're never wrong. And the fans are seeing that. We are all watching the NFL fix games. We're watching them make bad calls for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And it's every week. And it never ends. All right, let's talk NBA.
I know. We could do this, could complain about the Chiefs for the entire show if we had the time to do it. And we'll probably do it again later. So don't worry. We'll go back to it. I hope to as well. All right, let's get the NBA going because you're going to have Coach at the top of the next hour. Last night, Knicks beat the Nets in Brooklyn 99-95. They got a tough game out of the Nets, so a cover for Brooklyn. Cat had 25, OG had 20, but it was Brunson who had 17. Big buckets down the stretch from Brunson that really got the Knicks the victory in this one on TNT.
No, I am proud. 90-89 Brooklyn. 20 points, 10 assists, D'Angelo Russell. Brunson cans it! Big bucket to put the Knicks up by one. Hart with the rebound. Get it ahead. Brunson drives and scores! Brunson one-on-one with Keon Johnson. Towns comes out to help with a screen. Brunson, step back, got it!
You know, I thought, you know, Towns had the best game, but Brunson's the guy that's, for my money, the guy that finishes games off. He's their clutch gene. He's the guy that, in my view, hits all the big buckets that matter in the biggest games. The one concern I have about them, and I'll talk to Coach about it, is their depth. I think they have a really good five, and I think they can run with anybody. But when you only have five guys, like Deuce and Payne, to me, are their only, you know, I think Deuce can shoot threes. Literally, that's his game. He shoots threes. And then I think Payne can play. I don't think he's the worst bench guy I've ever seen in my life. So I'd say they have seven guys. And that's it. Like, I am not buying anyone else. This Sims guy's awful. He might as well be playing with me in the mornings. Honestly, their depth is a concern for me. And then you barely beat the Nets by four. Now, I know there's an alleged rivalry between these two, but they stink. And you can barely beat them by four. I don't care if the game's in Brooklyn or at the Garden. The Knicks should be 10, 12, automatic 15 points better than the Nets. And they aren't. And it's because they don't have depth. That's it.
Yeah,
they have five guys that can play.
Only two guys on the bench had double-digit minutes for the Knicks last night, which was Deuce and Precious. Those were the only two guys that had double-digit minutes.
He's average at best. And, you know,
yes.
Payne can hit a three. He's got that funky shot. But he's not the worst player I've ever seen. I think Achiuwa is real average.
Yes. I don't disagree with that. He is real average. Next, how about the Blazers last night? Beat the Heat 117-107. So Miami struggling a little bit, but Portland getting a win down in South Beach. Raptors beat Orlando 109-93. I believe you were on the Raptors last night. Do I remember that correctly? I think you did have the Raptors against Orlando.
I hit some other games. I hit the Denver game, the Laker game. I thought the Magic would beat the Blazers, for Christ's sakes, or they beat the Raptors.
Poor effort by Orlando. Not a poor effort by the Nuggets, who you did have. 144-109, smashed the Sixers in Denver. Joker at it again, his 19th triple-double of the season on TNT.
It's going this way. You don't know how much time the starters are going to get.
Oh, there it is. Jokic up top for Gordon. His 10th assist, 25, 11, and 10.
I mean, listen, when they get the Joker's automatic, but when they get Gordon and Porter and Murray going with them and Brown, they can be a really tough team again. And they have the same issues the Knicks have, in my opinion. They have four really good players. They never seem to be anymore on the floor at the same time, and you know, these days. But the rest of the team from five down the bench is just pathetic. They used to be nine deep, automatic, 10 deep. That's why they won a title. And then since then, all those guys left for money. They all left for bigger paydays, and they don't have a bench anymore. So I don't think they're going anywhere either. You can't win with four guys.
Can't win with four guys. Lakers beat Washington 111-88. LeBron with 21, AD with 29. Big slam for LeBron here, Spectrum Sportsnet.
Good rebound by Reeves. Hook pass! Oh! LeBron! Count it!
Ah, LeBron, flex a little bit for me. Yeah, we know you're strong.
I mean, he had a triple-double again with 13 dimes. I mean, haven't we gotten used to this yet? I mean, he's 40. He's been playing 20 years. We haven't gotten used to this. This is every night.
Yeah, and that was after he did, like, the cross-country flight to go watch Ohio State, right? He went to Atlanta, came back, still with the triple-double.
You don't care about that because he flies in his own
personal jet with, like, a bed in it. So he probably got to sleep a nice red-eye coming home from there. So there you go. We'll come back. And I will give you a couple of other notes, and then we'll start to get into tonight's games. One game tonight, already off the board. They're not going to play in New Orleans, Bucks and Pelicans, because of the snowstorm down there. So that game has been
I told you
scrapped.
They were getting hit with a blizzard down in Bourbon Street.
They're not used to that. They're not used to that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Carver High, the Suns made a deal, and I think they really needed to make the deal. They have had an empty cupboard. And they have been handcuffed in their inability to be able to do any deals. All they have is basically, to dangle is Bradley Beal, who has a no trade, and he's willing allegedly to waive it for, you know, a couple teams. But the reality is they've literally had no number one draft picks till 2031. But they solved that problem yesterday.
They did. They acquired themselves some more assets, as they like to say. They get three future first-round picks from the Jazz. So the 2031 that belonged to Phoenix now goes to Utah. Utah sends Phoenix first-rounders in 25, 27, and 29. Now, all of those three of those picks have protections and exceptions attached to them, such as it's going to be the worst of the picks between Minnesota, Cleveland, and Utah because Utah got all these picks in the Gobert and Donovan Mitchell deals. That's why Utah has all these picks. So either there might not be the best picks, but it allows the Suns to have some first-round picks, as you say, in case they do want to make some other deals down the road.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when you have no picks, you have no hope. I mean, what are you going to do when everybody around you is drafting players and you can't make any moves? And, you know, they remind me of the Nets. They put together this super team and they have these three great players and it's never worked. It's amazing to me that they have Durant, Booker, and Beal, and they rarely play together at the same time. Just like when Irving, Harden, and Durant were with the Nets, right? And they could never get on the floor at the same time, and they could never win. It's the same thing all over again. And what is truthfully amazing to me is watching these GMs think that they can, you know, replicate this and make it work when they've already seen it fail now twice. And then you're left with no picks and you have no leg to stand on, frankly. So I think they've dug their own grave in Phoenix, and at least they made a move to, you know, get some picks in 25, 27, 29. Who cares about 2031 right now? When you only had that pick in 2031 and nothing else, they had to do something. And now I think the next step naturally is to trade Beal.
And I know that people might ask, well, why would Utah do that? You know, why would Utah give up all these picks that they have? Because Utah already has
way more than that.
They had three first rounders in all three of those years. So now they still have two first rounders, and now they get a Sun pick in 31 with no protections. And that's a long time from now, Scotty. What if the Suns suck in 2030, 2031? Suddenly, you might have yourself like a top five pick or something like that. So you never know when teams make these long-term asset investments, you never know what they could be down the road. So some future planning for Utah making a deal such as that. All right, here we go. You sent me this. Here we go. This week's NBA power rankings, according to people who think they know. That is it. Number one, OKC. Number two, Cleveland. Number three, Houston. Number four, Boston. Number five, Memphis. According to people who think they know the power rankings.
Listen, this was straight from the NBA and their people that run their app for the league. And I actually agreed with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. I think Boston has been lollygagging. I think that they play when they want to because they know how good they are. Like, you know, last night, what was it? They smoked Golden State by, you know, like 45 points. When they want to play, they can destroy anyone in the league. I still think they're the team in the East that'll come out of the East for the finals. And then I hate that, but it's reality. But I've said on a number of occasions on the show that the most exciting two teams in the NBA to watch are the last 2 weeks when we watched Oak City and Cleveland trade punches, once at the Rocket and once in OKC. And they split the games and they both did their thing at home. And I think there's a legit rivalry brewing between these two teams. They're both loaded with talent. And I think Houston is the same. I think Houston has some of the best young players like Green. I think they have perhaps, you know, literally, he could be the best coach in the NBA overall as a coach. Like, the guy's a pure coach. He's really good. I mean, I don't know about his, you know, walking around the office and hitting on chicks and all the problems he's had, but he can coach flat out. And I think that Ibaka is the real deal. And with that talent, they mean business. With that Şengün, who can do it all, and I mean score, rebound, dish, defend, they are dangerous. And look, I think the Memphis Grizzlies are the same thing. They have Ja Morant. I think Edie's turning into the badass that I always said he would be in the NBA. You cannot be that big and that talented with your hands and feet like he is. And his ass. I've never seen a guy seal as good as him yet in 15 years. I mean, this guy can seal you off and finish like nobody's business. He has dominated in the minutes that he's played in the NBA. There's no one making fun of Zach Edey anymore, that he couldn't cut it in the NBA or that he was going to be a bust. That is all down the toilet because he is a flat-out baller. And so is Jackson Jr. So is Bain. This is a really good team. And, I mean, I think the league looks really good right now. I don't have a problem with any of those five at all.
No, I don't either. I know that sometimes people get their feathers ruffled if they don't see Boston at the top because Boston's the best. Nobody's ever they're just not so far this year. They take a lot of nights off, which happens after you win the title. They do take a lot of nights off. The playoffs is really all that matters to the Celtics at this point. All right, we'll come back. I'll give you some ATS stuff. I'll give you East and West and tonight's games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, best and worst against the spread so far in January in the NBA?
Yeah, figured we'd change it up this week. Instead of the whole season, we'll do to give you the January numbers. The Pacers, best this month, 8-1 against the spread in the month of January. Nuggets, Thunder, Hornets, and Kings. How about the Hornets? 5-1-1 against the number. Ball's been playing great. On the bad side, the Sixers after last night, 1-9-2. Mavs, Spurs, Heat, and Magic also on the bad list.
I mean, that's stunning when you look at those bad teams in reality, right? When's the last time you've seen the Heat like this? And the Sixers have been this way all year. The Mavericks, I think it hit a wall with Luka going down. Kyrie went down. Kyrie's back now, but look what the damage was with the both of them being out. On the plus side, on the winning side, I'm not surprised at all. And the team that stands out to me has been the Sacramento Kings. Like, they have been playing some fantastic ball for the entire month. They've gotten themselves back two games over 500. They're back to 500 at home. They were awful. They were losing every game they played, and they weren't showing up. Then they fired Mike Brown, and then they let Christie take over. And since then, they've what, won like 11 of 12 games? And then you see some of the results right there. So that has been stunning to me. And really, I'm not that surprised. They were a really good team last year. Now they're a little bit different. There's no, you know, Barnes. But I think that Sabonis is a lot like Şengün. He's just such a force every night. He's an automatic double-double. He has frequent triple-doubles, and he can really play. And so can Fox and Monk. So this is a team that's becoming dangerous again. Keep your eye on the Sacramento Kings.
Overs and unders this week for the whole season. Cavs and Grizzlies and the Hawks still the most overs, with the Clippers, Hornets, Magic, Celtics, Warriors, and Bulls being on the downside. Playing the unders. If you like to play the unders, those are your teams to go with there. So that's the overs and the unders. How about the Eastern Conference for you? Still the Celtics plus 105. The Cavs have gotten a little closer. They're 3-1 now. And then the Knicks at 6-1. Everyone else 11-1 or longer there on the big board.
Look, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to say it right now. At this point, Cleveland would beat the Knicks in a series. Now, I know that the Knicks beat the Cavs in the playoffs, and, you know, I loved it. I enjoyed every minute of it. But that was a different team than this team. They had Randall. They had DiVincenzo. They were deeper. They had a better bench. They had Hartenstein. Don't get me started on what that loss of that player did to this team. Now they have Jericho Sims now backing up Cat Towns, who is, you know, day to day, every day. It's like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I won't deny that Cat Towns is a really good player. But when you have no bench, to me, Cleveland is hands down better than the Knicks now. I think that if they played tomorrow in a series, the Cavs would win. And that's why they're ahead of the Knicks, flat out. They're deeper, they're better, they're younger, they're everything better than the Knicks. They really are. And I am not disagreeing with this at all. The Celtics are still head and shoulders in the East, the best team. When they want to play, they will destroy anyone. And it's, to me, Boston and Cleveland. And everything else is up in the air. Like, I don't buy the Bucks. I know how dangerous Giannis and Dame are, but they don't get it done, do they? Magic? I know how good Bancaro and you know, Franz Wagner is, but is anyone really betting on them to go deep? No. Philly sucks. They're not going deep, even though everyone thinks they are. Christ, the team that plays better than all those teams in that list right there is the Pacers.
On the West, Thunder plus 115, Nuggets, Mavs, Grizzlies, T-Wolves. know, the Rockets, who we just had up on that power list, 17-1, the Rockets to win the West.
I'll tell you what, if you ask me, it's the Thunder and the Grizzlies and Rockets, flat out. And I know those other teams, the Nuggets and the Mavs and the T-Wolves, get all the juice because they got all the star players, but they're all ISO players. Ant Edwards is the, you know, he's the superstar on that team and nobody else does jack. Luka, he's the superstar. When he plays, he does it all. And, you know, I think those other three teams, Memphis and Houston, to me, with the Thunder, are the three juiciest, if you ask me, without a doubt.